Even though the Eagles season is over, that doesn't mean our season is. Even though we said it was last week. We kind of said, hey, you know, we'll be done. But, you know, I tell you what, those games this past weekend were too good to ignore and not talk about on the Where Eagles Dare podcast. So thank you guys for joining us. We're special bonus episodes that we're going to be doing throughout the playoffs just because we can. Nobody says we have to stop after the Eagles are out. Now, granted, we'd be much happier if the Eagles were in it. And you know what's funny is that when we talk about these games, I know me personally, I'm going to talk about it as they affect the Eagles because that's what I got on my mind watching every single one of these games. Oh, the Eagles could have handled them. Eagles could have beat them. Oh, they got killed by them. So we're going to get right into it. We've got an hour of coverage here. We're going to talk about all four divisional playoff games, which I mean, if you didn't get a chance to catch it, I mean, seriously, where were you? I mean, what an amazing set of games. I mean, I don't think... Tubby, I can ever recall a set of games in the divisional round or even that any weekend of playoffs that all four were edge of your seat, unbelievable, exciting, must-see TV stuff. What do you think?
Man, I thought it was definitely one of the best divisional rounds I've ever witnessed, for sure. I mean, it was incredible. Every game was watchable, you know, no matter what game you looked at, even with Brady down 27-3. I mean, the Bucks. God. I just call them Brady. I just call them all Brady. But even with the Bucks down 27-3, you're still like, yeah, we've seen this before too. We've been down 28-3. Every game was just good, man. Real competitive. Yeah, man, I can't wait to get into it, man. It was a lot of good football. A lot of good football. Especially when if my team is not out, I'm kind of watching the game, kind of out my left eye. I'm watching it, but I'm not. But I was locked in to most of these games this weekend because they were all that good. And to see some of the elites go down, I think it makes it a little sweeter too, because we know we're going to have a new champion. We got, you know, fresh faces, a lot of young guys. Some young guy is going to get a title this year. Mm-hmm. You know, Mahomes could get his second one, but you got Stafford's not a young guy, but you get what I'm saying. Some is going to be a new guy.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Unless Mahomes does it.
But, yeah, all four remaining teams all have compelling stories, and that's what's great about these playoffs. And unexpected, two number one seeds go down on the divisional round. At home, you know, both had a bye. The only two teams to have a bye in the entire playoffs at home, and they both end up losing in close games decided by a field goal. And it's just like turned everything on its head. And when you look at it, three out of the four home underdogs ended up winning, and the fourth one came within 13 seconds of winning. It could have been all four home underdogs, or road underdogs, excuse me, road teams. All four road underdogs could have actually won this weekend if not for that last minute. But let's talk about the first one, because, you know, you used to live here in Dayton, Ohio, where I live right now, where I reside, and you know how much the Bengals mean to this city, even just Dayton, this whole area. I mean, right. they love Ohio State more than anything, first and foremost. Mm-hmm. But the Bengals have suffered long, and they still show up at Paul Brown Stadium. The team has taken their money and given them nothing for years. They had a few good years in the Carson Palmer era, but before mm-hmm. that, it goes all the way back to Boomer Esiason and the Cincinnati Bengals with Chris Collinsworth in the Super Bowls in like 1980 and 89. Other than that, they've just not been around. And wow, what an amazing game that was to start the whole thing off. I mean, you kind of felt like the Bengals had a shot because their offensive explosiveness. But I did not expect to see such a defensive game in that mm-hmm. game. I didn't expect it to be like just field goals for the longest time. It was crazy.
Yeah. You know, Tannehill can do that at times. You know, he is a converted quarterback. I think he was a tight end at Texas A&M or something like that by trade. So, you know, Tannehill is not your prototypical quarterback. He can play quarterback, but he's not your prototypical quarterback that's been through the ringer, you know, the progressions. So he can have an up and down game. You got Derrick Henry coming back off of a foot injury, and we don't know how healthy he was. But because he never really had a lot of that burst, and then he's missed a lot of games. So he's trying to get back in that football shape, that game shape. Yeah, man, I was up in the mountains. I was up in Breckenridge, up in the mountains. So I didn't catch every moment of the game, of this game, but I watched enough of it in between, like, you know, being on slopes. I went into a restaurant and got something to eat, and I was able to catch a lot of the Titans-Bengals game. And, you know, Bengals in control most of the game. You know, got close at the end, you know, tied it up right there, and it got crazy at the end there. But, it was a good game, man.
Well, you know, it's funny you mentioned, I had a really unique football watching experience this week, because for Christmas, I got an Oculus, the Quest, and, you know, the portable one. And I've been trying that out and everything, and you can watch a lot of sports on it and everything. And I found this app called Big Screen VR, right? So what it is that you can go in and watch movies like you're actually sitting in a movie theater. But if you go into the public rooms, people will actually stream stuff off of their own computers in VR in these movie theaters. So I found an NFL room where this guy named was Bell Lorthian, ended up sending him a friend request. He hosted a room, in max 15 people in the room, but I had so much fun. It was like being at Wild Wings. I'm sitting in my own living room, and I've got the headset on, and I'm like in a movie theater. Everybody's avatars are up. Everybody's got their mics up, so everybody's yelling stuff. There's pro Bengals people. There's pro Tennessee people heckling each other, all in good fun, all in good fun. And I'm like, this is freaking crazy. I've never done anything like that in VR. And it was like watching it. Now, I have a pretty good-sized TV, and I have my projector, which you've seen. But this was a whole other experience. I mean, it was funny because my wife will usually watch the games with me, and she came in the room, and I got my VR. And I'm like, so I guess I'm not watching the games with you. I'm like, yeah, not this weekend. This is pretty cool. So I had my son on the phone with me. He didn't have his Oculus with him because he's in Alaska on temporary duty. So they were watching it on the Quest and watching it with a lot of other people. I had a blast. And I tell you what, the room was hype. And it was like, you thought that Tennessee, when Derrick Henry did get that first touchdown, you're like, okay, here we go. And then they go for two for some inexplicable reason. And it ends up 6-6. And you're kind of like, wow, that didn't make a lot of sense. But you thought Derrick Henry was going to get it going. But after that, he never really got it going. I think Devontae Foreman actually had, you know, Deontay Foreman. Yeah.
Deontay.
He had some more explosive plays than Henry did in the second half. But what killed the Titans? Let's be honest. What killed the Titans? It was turnovers. It was bad interceptions by Tannehill. I normally have a lot of good things to say about Tannehill. I thought he was really good in Miami. I thought he's been a quarterback in Tennessee that didn't lose games. He's been that game manager guy. But the problem was, in this game, when they needed a game manager, he was turning the ball over. And especially the one right at the end of the game. I mean, when you got 20 seconds left in the game, and granted, it was off the somebody else's hands, but still a pick. And you get an interception at the worst opportunity. You know, you're almost getting ready to hit into overtime, and you throw a pick. Yeah. And you put the Cincinnati Bengals in pretty much almost in field goal range. It's crazy.
You know, what's up with these quarterbacks that in the prime, in the moments, in the highest moments, they go to like the third string wide receiver. Look, man, I'm only looking at two receivers, A.J. Brown and Julio Jones. The ball was forced in there, almost like he knew he was going to go there from the start. It was a forced throw. He wasn't really that open. Again, I'm looking at, man, in that moment, I'm looking at A.J. Brown. He was already killing him. He was having a hell of a game.
Unbelievable.
You have a lot of rapport with A.J. Brown. You know, you guys have been there since his rookie season. You know you should be able to throw the ball to Brown with the lights out.
Yeah.
You should know where he's at. And then you have Julio Jones. This is why you go out and get Julio Jones, because he is going to make the toughest of catches in those moments. That's who he is. That's who he's been, you know, at Bama to Falcons. And now, you know, he's lost a step, but he's still a playmaker, man. He's still a big time player. He still wants it. And in those moments, man, you got to go to those guys, man. You got to go to those guys. But, you know, and then I don't want to skip over games, but other guys did it too. You know, Rodgers, how he missed Lazard wide open in the middle of the field. Yeah. He's forcing it. You know, Brady forcing it to Evans when Scotty Miller is open.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you don't expect this from we're talking about elite quarterbacks that can just still get tunnel vision in the hot moments, man.
Yeah, there was so many like huge moments in every one of these games, and some were like really big on the positive side, and some were just really bad mistakes that turned the whole game around. And what I thought about in this game, like you said, AJ Brown, he had 5 receptions for 142 yards and a touchdown. 142. And I was talking to everybody in the room that we were in the Oculus, and I'm like, this is the playmaker. This is the guy that everybody wants to have that you know can get open. And you, we wish that, you know, we've got Devontae Smith with the Eagles, but we don't have a guy like Devontae with like AJ Brown. We've said it. We've got a great receiver in Smith. I've got no problem with him. But we need a playmaker. We need a guy, like you said, that when he gets the ball, he's going to make a play. He's going to get gone. That play, that touchdown that tied it up, with the one-handed catch, he's getting grabbed and held and pulled, and he just...
Unbelievable.
Right into come on, man. Seriously. Unbelievable. It was a hell of a performance. And you're right. Jones had a pretty decent performance. So to throw that pick in that situation... It just was bad for the Titans because you could have gone into overtime, relied on your defense. The Bengals were reeling a little bit because they had a lead until the Brown TD, and they were kind of backing up, and that just gave them new life. What I loved about was, did you see the like the press conference afterwards when Joe Burrow was talking about McPherson, this kicker, man? And he's a rookie, right, this McPherson?
I believe so. I don't know if he's a rookie. I know they drafted him as well.
He looks like a baby. I mean, so he's out there warming up. He's already hit a ton of field goals in the game. He's already been solid through all the game, not phased whatsoever. And they say that he was warming up, and they get it into field goal range, and he stretches a little bit, goes over to his holder, and he goes, looks like we're going to the AFC Championship, boys.
Yeah, I saw that. That's pretty dope.
That was pretty cool, and Burrow just loved it. I mean, this team is that team that think everybody in next week, regardless of if you either love the Chiefs or you'll be rooting for the Bengals. You're either a Chiefs fan. I think most of the country will be that sentimental favorite, that supreme underdog that just they're young, and to be this far is amazing for this team. I did not expect in Burrow's second, especially after his gruesome injury, to come out this year and win the division and then get to the AFC Championship game. So good on Burrow and the Bengals, man. Good luck to him. The thing that's going to kill him, though, is that offensive line. Good Lord, that offensive line. I got a meme on this. This is insane because to look at this. The only quarterbacks to win a playoff game despite being sacked 8-plus times. McNabb won in 2003. That was the 4th-and-27 game, if I'm not mistaken, against the
Green Bay. Freddie Mitchell?
Yeah, the Green Bay Packers game. And then I was actually, I was in Massachusetts during that game. I was doing security that year. And no, I was actually in, I was in England, my first stint in RAF Croughton. But 2003. Donovan McNabb sacked 8 times and still won. And Joe Burrow sacked 9 times. 9 freaking times. You know that is going to be the big point of contention going into the Chiefs game.
Yeah, man.
Chiefs playing good defense, you got to stop the sacks. If they're going to win against the Chiefs, he's got to have a clean pocket.
That's why I always say, man, I know it's a little cliche, but football is complimentary, man. When your quarterback's getting sacked 9 times and you're still in the game, how? You know, how? You know, because the Bengals defense stepped up. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why it's complimented from special team. You can get it from everywhere. You have the 49ers who didn't even score an offensive touchdown and beat the Packers. If you'd have told me that, I'd be like, yeah, right.
I know, right?
Yeah, right. And, you know, so they won in, you know, sometimes in spite of the offense, you know, get nothing from the offense and still come out on top. Football is crazy. It's complimentary, like I always say, man, because your special teams can give you a spark. Your defense can give you a spark. Your kicker can give you a spark. Right. So you can get it from so many ways, man. And, the Titans defense was keeping them in the game by getting all those sacks of the offense. Weren't doing anything. I mean, they were scoring, but, you know, they were down. It was like 16-6 at one point or something like
exactly,
that.
Exactly. Until the Browns touchdown, it seemed like they were just floundering because they couldn't get going. They kept turning the ball over at inopportune times. Because I think Tannehill had like 3 picks in the game total.
3 picks.
And you can't win a game like that, especially for a game manager guy that he's supposed to get the job done, get the ball down the field, not lose the game for you.
Right. Where's the easy throw? Where's the easy throw for Tannehill? And this is where it comes maybe back to Vrabel. where he's not an offensive guy. Obviously, he's literally a linebacker for the Patriots, you know, a champion in his own right. But in those moments, you pull him to the side. Hey, man, we don't need nothing. Don't force anything. If it's not there, just eat it. You know, we'll take it in overtime. You couldn't force any throws there. That's the first thing he did. And again, to Giles, what's his name? I forget the guy's name. But anyway, you know, it's their third or fourth receiver still. Then you go there with it. It just shows you, man, in the biggest moments, man, even the best of them can just lock in. Tannehill knew he was going there. He stared him down and went right there. And the guy came in, made a good defensive play on the ball, came in, tipped the ball in the air, and Johnny on the spot. Was it Wilson, I believe? Right there.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Catch that interception. And I'm just sitting there oh, my goodness, that's crazy. And I was rooting for the Titans because, you know, one of my best friends, the Titans fan, the guy, you know, my boy Larry, that started, he's in our fantasy league, Outkast.
Okay, gotcha, gotcha.
He's a Titans fan. He's from Tennessee. And, you know, I was rooting for him, you know. I just could not believe it. But, man, if you couldn't get Henry going, they kind of remind me of the Colts. Like, when they couldn't get the run game going, and they had to rely on their quarterback. They just reminded me of the Colts. When Taylor can't get going and you have to depend on Wentz, it's like, come on now. You know, can he get it done? And, they've proven at times that, no, they can't. I don't think it was a Derrick Henry thing. I think they felt, look, we're going to stack the box.
Yeah,
we're not going to let Derrick Henry beat us. I think that was the philosophy going in.
Good
there.
Good point.
Anybody but Henry. And they were right. Mm-hmm. And I think they do that with a lot of other quarterbacks in the league to anybody but him, and then we'll be okay.
Yeah. I mean, they gave up a lot of plays to A.J. Brown. Let's not admit, in fact, the touchdown. But the Bengals knew, hey, that, you know, we're going to give up some big plays on the pass game, but we're not going to let Henry run all over us. And I was surprised. I picked the Titans to win. I think a lot of people did. And I was wrong because I didn't account. I picked him because I thought that Henry would be back and he would run through the Bengals defense, who's been kind of mediocre all year. And I thought the offensive line of the Bengals was going to get Burrow killed, and it did. But he rose above, and him and Chase. I mean, Chase with the play just to get it into field goal range was amazing right there on the sideline. Those two guys are going to be around for a long time. This is a Montana Rice. This is, you know, Brady and Brown in the early days and Troy Brown. This is a connection and these guys came together from LSU. They already are great friends. They already have great chemistry. They get him an offensive line in the offseason or even just get a couple of pieces. The Bengals are not going to be, this isn't a one and done, I don't think. I mean, to me, it seems like this team, get some pieces on defense. You get some offensive line, man. And you got T. Higgins. You got Uzama. You've got a pretty good team there. They may not beat the Chiefs on Sunday, but man, they're going to give them a hell of a game, I think.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. I'm with you on that. And I think Bengals. I think Cincinnati has now become a spot where linemen may want to go because they see they have a good running back, they have a good quarterback, they have a good receiving core, they have a good offense. So I can see somebody in there in the AFC Championship game. Mm-hmm. So I can see a guy coming in there, you know, saying, I'm going to Cincinnati. I'll block for Mixon, block for Burrow, and sort it out. You know, they have a chance. I mean, they knocked off. You know, they play just solid football. They haven't played great. You know, the Raiders game was meh. You know, even the Titans game was meh. They haven't really exploded on anybody. But because, like I said, football is complimentary. It's more ways to win than just a shootout. And you see a lot of these games weren't really one of them was absolutely. But, you know, the Bengals game wasn't really a shootout.
No.
That the Green Bay 49ers game. Sheesh.
Well, let's shift gears and talk about that one then. Because, Saturday was a weird one. I mean, because Saturday was all defense. And then Sunday was offensive explosion. So we had two different. It was such a great weekend. You can't say it enough. Because you had everything. And so you catch your breath after watching the Bengals in Tennessee, and you start watching the 49ers and the Packers, and you're like, at first, it's like, well, the Packers come down and score right off the bat. So you're like, oh, here we go. You know, they're at home. It's 2 degrees wind chill. Everybody's frozen. Right. The ball looks like it's made of concrete. And it's
the
just bouncing
tundra.
It's bouncing off of people's hands. But the Packers still score a touchdown. So you're thinking, oh, this is going to be, you know, slam dunk.
Right.
but then it wasn't. And then it was just a sack fest on both sides of the ball. It was Joey Bosa was all over the place for the 49ers and single-handedly kept them in the game because Rodgers was hearing footsteps. He'll be hearing Joey Bosa's footsteps for the next 3 or 4 weeks in his dreams because he was everywhere. And you were watching him line him up on the end and line him up at tackle. I'm like, oh, my God, they're killing him with Bosa. And it wasn't just Bosa, but it was his disruption that was allowing the 49ers just to get to Rodgers constantly. Mm-hmm. So after that touchdown, and like we've talked about it before, the scripted plays, it was just it was a lot of nothing for three quarters, man.
Nothing, man.
But then what killed me was they had the big play to Jones, which was funny. I got to mention this. So we're in the Oculus Quest, right? And and Aaron Rodgers backs up, and he's got a wheel route to Aaron Jones down the side of the sidelines, and he throws to the wrong side of Jones's shoulder. Jones, if he throws to the inside, Jones catches it in stride and probably gets a touchdown. But Jones has to turn around the other way. Either that or Jones messed up. Mm-hmm. One of them messed up. So Jones flips around the other way and he catches the ball, but still runs down to the inside the 20 and gets tackled. But had that ball been on the money and caught him in stride, so a guy says that in the Oculus Quest. He's like, man, if Rodgers would have hit that pass a little bit better, that'd have been a touchdown. I'm like, oh yeah, Rodgers. That's what I said in the room. I'm like, yeah, Rodgers sucks. He doesn't know how to throw. Screw that guy. And everybody started laughing. But it was a good point. If the Packers score a touchdown there, it's a much different game because what happens is they go for a field goal right before the half that could have made it a 10-0, and it gets blocked.
Yep.
And that was a foreshadowing because apparently, from what I understood from people in the Oculus VR, they were saying that and something I didn't know, that their special teams coordinator had been on the hot seat in Green Bay. That'd been like their 1 week length. He was somebody that the press had caught on. So there was some Green Bay fans in there talking about it. And I'm like, I didn't know anything about that. So when they blocked the kick, they said that, man, they should have fired him weeks ago. And I was like, dude, that was foreshadowing. Because what happens in the second half when the Packers are, I mean, really, four minutes left in the game, and they've got it pretty much in hand. They're playing great defense. And that block punt, man, that thing stayed up in the air. It was like a glitch in a video game. It got blocked, and he was like, where's the punt? Everybody's just standing around. And it just lands. 49ers taking in, and next thing you know, it's 10-10. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
That was unbelievable, man. And you know, when you're watching the quarterback, as great as Rodgers is, you know, you're always waiting for the next play. He's going to make a play. He's going to make a play. He's going to make a play. And when you're going against a quarterback, you know, he has completely outclassed in Jimmy Garoppolo, you go, okay. But man, something about, man, I don't know what it is about Jimmy G, man. He can just survive a game.
It's crazy.
He can just survive anything, man. He's the Teflon Don. This guy, remember the last Super Bowl run? He threw 19 passes on his last Super Bowl run. How does he do it? Because football is complimentary. I'm going to go back to my own thing. Defense. Because football is complimentary. It's more than one way to win the game. I bet the Packers wish they had a better run game or wish they got their run game started because when it's that cold, man, you can't get your run game. I thought Rodgers threw a lot of bad passes. A lot of bad passes. I mean, there were a lot of drops. They were also a lot of bad. No. I'm thinking about Brady, actually. Brady threw a lot of bad passes.
If you want to talk about Rodgers, he was 20 of 29 for a 91 QBR, but 69 completion percentage, but only 225 yards. And he was sacked 5 times. And that's huge.
Incredible.
And on the ground, this was the biggest problem, like you mentioned. Jones had 12 rushes for 41 yards at a 3.4 yard per carry average. And Dylan had the touchdown early on, and he was 7 carries for 25. So they had 19 carries with their running backs, but they weren't getting anything on the ground. And that was a big attribute, like you said, about Jimmy G. I think Jimmy G just got the benefit of a really good defense in San Francisco. San Francisco played good defense when the Eagles played them. They played good defense all year long. That's why they're where they're at right now. Played great defense against the Cowboys. I mean, you got to give this team credit for shutting down what a lot of people consider one of the better offenses on paper in the Dallas Cowboys. 100%. And they shut them down until the fourth quarter of that game. And that's what cracks me up about the 49ers and the Rams. They both hang around. They just hang around. And now they're going to meet. They're going to meet, and which team's going to hang around and win that game? So that's crazy. It was sad when Robbie Gould, and I don't know if you saw the thing after that. Just like McPherson, Robbie Gould kicks the winning field goal to win and win 13-0, and then he's walking off the field, and Jimmy G goes, "You're effing legend, man. F the Packers,
yeah, man. Yeah, man." And you know, as a former Bears legend, I don't know if he's a Bear legend, but he's definitely a well known Bears player. You know, Robbie Gould back in his day. So for him to, after Rodgers talks all that smack all year about how he owns the Bears,
oh yeah,
here comes a dark horse you don't even know. You didn't even know this was part of the script, you know. And man, you know what was missed in that game? Be a little controversial here. The fact that Rodgers made a lot of noise before that game.
Yeah,
I'm not going to get into the quotes and the woody whoops of it, but he was a distraction leading up to that game. But nobody really blamed him for being such a distraction. No, you know, they never said it throughout the game. I wonder if he maybe took more time off of Twitter, he'd been more prepared for the game. Like, you know, I just felt like he was such a prima donna. He was so cocky just about everything. Bro, you had a week off and you come in and with this performance?
Right.
This is insane. This is insane because the Niners went down to the wire against Cowboys. They went down to the wire. They played the full shift. They had to put in a full shift against the Cowboys, against a good offense.
Yeah.
And you turn around, you have to play Rodgers next week. And I don't know. I guess that's hindsight because they lost. You could say that. But you notice there that narrative of him being a distraction isn't even a thing. And I thought he was a distraction because you saw the moment they lost, the trolls came out of everywhere from a political standpoint to a football standpoint. They were on his head. And you've seen it in the press conference where he's just like, I think he comes to the realization like, damn, I talk too much shit this year. I've talked too much shit this year. Showing my toe on the screen, just kind of being just nonchalant or trying to be the, you know, he kind of had a smartest guy in the room type of mentality this year. And it really, you know, you see people say, I've never went from liking the guy so much to completely not even wanting to see him. Yeah. And that's kind of, but nobody talks about how much of a distraction Rodgers were leading up to that game. I mean, this guy has the best wide receiver in football, in Devontae Adams.
Yeah, he's got that playmaker like Brown. Yeah, definitely.
You have Aaron Jones.
Yeah.
And Dylan that can run the rock. This is no question. Those guys are two good running backs, man. They can run. Dylan is going to eventually take Jones's spot. Mm-hmm. I like him better. Jones is better at pass catching, but Dylan is a downhill runner, man.
Yeah.
And I thought Rodgers could have led his team a little bit better in that game, man. I think for him to go 0-4 against the Niners and just his overall record in general over the past decade. You know, this is why he's not on my Mount Rushmore of quarterbacks. You know, Rodgers not up there.
No,
you know, I still take.
In fact, let's look.
I still take Montana.
You're giving us a great segue into this meme here.
There you go.
Here we go. This is a great meme right here. This came up this week after the game. Nick Foles and Aaron Rodgers have the same amount of Super Bowl victories, Super Bowl MVPs, and NFC championships.
Right, man.
One.
Well, Aaron,
one each.
When you fit the narrative, you know, he has, you know, just great seasons after great seasons after great seasons. He has four MVPs, you know, a lot of respect to that, you know, to be the best player in the National Football League.
But not Super Bowl incredible. MVPs. One.
But right, but they talk about him like he has more rings than Ben. He don't even have more rings than Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah, exactly. You've got a great point. But here's the thing.
Eli Manning.
One of the things that came up with the people I was watching the games with this weekend was like, he is a regular season quarterback. He is an accurate passer, but and he can get you to maybe the second round of the playoffs. But beyond that, he gets tunnel vision. And you look at that. This is supposedly one of the best quarterbacks in the league, and he throws for 229 yards, and he gets tunnel vision on Adams, and he's missing Lazard. He's missing everybody over across the field. Granted, they had, you know, turnovers. Mercedes Lewis had his fumble and everything. But I know it was freaking freezing cold, but that's your home. That's built for you. You know, I did believe, so we're going to take it back to the Eagles, because I did believe that had the Eagles prepared well for Tampa Bay, Mm-hmm. Had they prepared well and won that game, which I still think they could have, had they prepared well and ran an aggressive mm-hmm. defense. I do believe Brady could be had. Look at what the Rams did to him for three quarters. You play the right aggressive style against Brady like the Saints did, you're gonna beat him. We'll talk about that game here in a second. But, mm-hmm. but if the Eagles had gone into Green Bay, I do mm-hmm. think they could. I would have loved to have gone into Green Bay with the Eagles because they play in cold weather.
And in the run game.
Up and coming. A great front four that can get to the quarterback. It would have been a tailor-made matchup like it was for the 49ers. We played the 49ers really close early in the season.
Oh, yeah.
So the Eagles are one of those teams that with the right coaching and with the right mm-hmm. momentum, they could easily have been in this situation. So this is what I talked about earlier. When I was watching these games, I was like, man, the Eagles could have gone in Green Bay and won this game because look at how badly they played. And with the right amount of pressure, and this is why I hope that Gannon gets hired somewhere else, because with the right amount of pressure, with the right defensive scheme, because that's the thing is with the right defensive scheme, your team can be unstoppable. You can get the right horses. If you don't have the right horses, then your defense isn't going to be good. But I don't think that the Eagles defense I think they have the horses. I just think they've been in a bad scheme for like the last 7 years. But anyway, shifting gears. That game was over, and then we went into Sunday. And then it was almost defense for the first three quarters of the Rams and Buccaneers. I thought when it was 27-3, it was over. I mean, everybody thought it was over. Right. And then Brady just, like, you sent me a text. I had to read it out to everybody in the room. The text you sent me that when he started the comeback, you said, "See, Brady's a freaking vampire, man. He's a vampire.
He is, man. And then I said that fumble, Brady vamping, you know, because
it was multiple fumbles. It was three fumbles that gave him. And then all of a sudden you saw like the blood rise and he was like thirsty and ready to just murder people.
He's sitting over there looking like a vampire, man, just kind of with the black eye. You got the black on his eye. He just kind of had this face just kind of stoked, looked like, let's give the ball back one more time.
He had the blood on his lip.
Blood on his lip. So with that game, man, they did to Brady exactly what you are supposed to do to Brady. This mm-hmm. is where the Giants had success against Brady a couple times. You hit him, particularly in his mouth. He doesn't like it. You see, he got a 15-yard penalty.
First unsportsmanlike. First ever in his career.
So when we talk about Brady, or I say hit the goat or suffer the consequences, that was, you know, my thing with the Eagles was, no, you really have to hit him. Yeah. He does not like, that is like his kryptonite. If you put Brady on the ground, he just, it's like it takes him out of his game. He gets so pissed off. Seen that one time when on the last drive, he's just laying down like, because, you know, just up but looking up at the stars like, man, I'm on the ground again. When he had that blood on his lip, he came unglued that early in the game for such a legendary quarterback. Yeah. For him to have that reaction in the first quarter, I thought that was like, man, that's not like Brady. Brady's getting out of his head, man, the first quarter. It's the first quarter. You yelling at the refs. You blood boiling mad because you got hit in the mouth. You didn't even get tackled. Von Miller didn't even take you down to the ground. It was just a little helmet to helmet.
It was such a light thing, but it bloodied his lip, but it was a light hit. And that's why the refs were like, I ain't flagging that. His helmet
like, a violent sport.
Glanced against underneath your face mask. It glanced under there. And you know, Von Miller tried to hold him up and that's why I told my son, I was like, this is why people don't like Brady. And I'm a Michigan fan, so I should love Brady because he played at University of Michigan, didn't win a championship there, but I should love him. And I've tried. He just does these things. It's like throwing the tablet when he was getting beat by New Orleans. It's like you throw these temper tantrums when Graham forced a fumble and he's just sitting there on the field, like throwing a temper tantrum. This is why, you know, there's no denying he's the GOAT. There's no denying he is talented. And maybe these temper tantrums give him his vampiric strength. Maybe that's what it, maybe that's what it is. But the average football fan who's not a Patriots fan, who's not a Buccaneers fan, don't like the guy because, I mean, people like Rodgers more than him because Brady can't get hit in the mouth. Brady doesn't get hit in the mouth and get right up and just go, let's go. No, he turns to the ref and goes, he hit me in the mouth. Look at my lip.
Abusive. He abuses the hell out of the refs, I know, man. Right? I could not believe. He must have said something crazy for that white hat to throw the flag on Brady.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought that was crazy, man. He was an incredible. Shout out to the official. He was an incredible official. I thought throughout that whole game would explain the calls. I do think that Mike Evans play, I do think the NFL is going to look at that and say, we may have to change this because, I mean, just by the ball hitting the ground that 1 second, that's an in-the-play penalty. Oh, for them not to get the ball and considering, you know, just because the fourth down, I understand the rule. The play was over. It's a dead ball foul.
I said, shut up real quick.
But you should have the that's pretty cool. Where we in the shadows? Yes. What's that? The New Zealand movie?
The one underneath it is Ben Stiller from Dodgeball, where he gets hit in the mouth and he throws a temper tantrum, and you got Brady just above it, just doing the same thing.
Yeah, man, he was pretty pissed off. Man.
He was,
but just from an overall perspective, man,
I was going to hold that one back. Yeah. This is a great meme. This is a great meme. Everybody going to sleep. This is a great meme. Homer Simpson sleeping comfortably. Because this is everybody right now. It is everybody going to sleep that's not a Tom Brady fan, knowing that Tom Brady won't be in the Super Bowl. I said it multiple times to everybody that wanted to listen. I said, you know, I don't have anything against the guy personally. I really don't. It's just that it's enough. You've had enough. You know, I was never a Michael Jordan hater. But after the sixth NBA title, when I was in, you know, I was in, you know, a young man in my 20s in the 90s, I was like, all right, enough's enough. Enough's enough. Give somebody else a chance. You are the greatest of all time. But people who aren't Chicago Bulls fans are sick of it. And it was, you know, and Michael Jordan had to deal with a lot of that hate from everybody who were just tired of him. Like when he went off to baseball, everybody ridiculed him. Because he was the GOAT. And Brady's done the same thing. So I give him the respect. I give him the respect. So let's talk about the respect. Down 27-3 in the middle of the third quarter, they kick a field goal. It's 27-6. And then all of a sudden, they score a touchdown. The turnovers, it was like we talked about at the beginning. The turnovers, like, woke him up. Like, and it wasn't really Stafford's fault. It was like the Cam Akers was going into the damn end zone. And landed on his head and fumbled right before. And it was like every single turnover just fed the beast a little bit more. And then you saw him, like, that pass that he threw to Mike Evans after the, I think after the second turnover that brought it to 27-20. It was, oh, Lord, here we go. And then Akers fumbles. I think it was Akers fumbles right after that again. Now the Rams are trying to do the right thing. They're up 27-20. They're starting to get scared because there might be the second Atlanta Falcons part two.
Yeah.
And they go right through the line and he gets stripped and you're like, what the hell is going on? And let's give props to Fournette because he had a great game on the ground. If they would have ran him more early, they would have done well because then he goes in for the tying touchdown. And you're like, you're just stunned. You're just stunned at that the Bucs have come all the way back and tied this game. And everybody was talking, it's 28-3 all over again. It's the Atlanta Falcons all over again.
I mean, it's
a GOAT.
Why not? And then, man, you know, as much praise as Todd Bowles got against us, you know, to call the cover zero there.
Oh,
cover zero, bro? I understand the prevent is frustrating as well. You don't want to play that.
Right.
But to play a cover zero and you see Cooper Kupp come over in the slot, here's the reason why I'm being so hard on the Bucs. Because I heard him mic'd up saying, Jalen Hurts, he can't read a defense. He can't read a defense. And I'm like, look, that's all fair enough. But y'all couldn't read a defense because Stafford came out and did whatever he wanted to do. Yeah. Whatever he wanted to do for three quarters, y'all couldn't read the Rams defense. So Save it, man. Save it. Don't this is real cockiness about it. By the way, you know, Jalen does need to learn how to read defenses better. Yeah, I don't necessarily disagree with them fully, but he's young. You picking on a 23-year-old. I know you're probably just trying to hype your guys up, but then it's easy to punch down and pick on a quarterback like Jalen Hurts, and then you walk in there against L.A. Rams, and you're sitting there on your hands not knowing what to do. It wasn't the defense fault from the Rams. You know, it was the offense fault. Offense got him back into the game.
Yeah.
But, you know, with just – and really Cam Akers with two fumbles, two huge fumbles. You know what I'm saying? That's a problem. But then in the brightest moment, you call a cover zero. Look, man, I'm armchair quarterback, whatever you want to call it. But if you see a star receiver in the slot, they are running downfield.
Yep.
They are trying to get a skinny post, a skinny seam. They want something that's just in the quarterback's vision where he doesn't have to turn. And they just gave it to him. I'm taking Cooper Kupp one-on-one any day against a safety in particular. Corner is one thing. But for him to just be released to that safety, he was cooked. Cover zero. He literally just ran straight up the field and caught the ball. It was crazy. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? The best of them get beat. You know, Jalen Ramsey got smoked by Mike Evans on that play.
They made it 27-20. Yeah, he got smoked. Yeah,
that's Ramsey. Yeah. And then remember with Mike, it's a lot of things that game, man. Ramsey gives up the long touchdown. Then he could have saved the game. Remember when Mike Evans slipped?
Oh, yeah.
And then the ball is coming right to Ramsey. Yeah. Then he slips. What the hell is going on? How do you fall? Sometimes, how are you on the ground, Ramsey?
Sometimes it's that vampiric power that just overrides everything. Like Brady just might have just waved his fingers.
Yeah. My guy falls. Shoot, your guy falls. Like, damn. I mean, he is a member of What We Do in the Shadows, for sure. I mean, is that the movie?
That's the one. Yeah, that's a great movie. That's one of my favorites.
What We Do. You put me on to that show.
Oh, yeah, that's great. The TV show is even better. But, yeah, Brady's probably one of them. Honestly, if Brady turned out on that show, I would just die. If Brady was like one of the vampiric council.
Coming as the landlord.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he would be great. But it is. Man. You know, I said it to my son because, like, say, we watched all the games together over the phone. And I said, this is the crazy thing about Brady, though, is that as an Eagles fan, because we're always going to bring it back to the Eagles, as an Eagles fan, we don't get the bounces that Brady does, man. And he's always the GOAT. He's always making plays. And let's say the first half, he was throwing short. He wasn't doing anything. That second half, when those turnovers started happening, he was dropping dimes, and he was the Brady of old. It was like you woke the beast in him when you started turning over the ball to him. And I said, "This is," but it's also the luck that he has. I don't know if he's like Church of Scientology or something where he's got this luck, but he does get like lucky things that happen that like other ordinary teams don't seem to get. Like, how do you explain three turnovers by the Rams at the end of that game to tie it up? It just boggles the mind. But like you said with the Cooper Kupp thing, let's talk about Cooper Kupp for a second, because there's a lot of talk about who the MVP is this year, and I was debating on a lot of things, and a lot of people talk about Rodgers, but then they say, well, he can't be the MVP because he ain't vaccinated. Well, I'm not going to talk politics. Yeah, you didn't hear that one? Oh, it was great. But
no.
There was a reporter that actually came out. I know. There was a reporter that came out and said, Brady cannot be the MVP because he's not promoting vaccines. All right, we're not political on this podcast, but let's just say that has nothing to do with football. It has to do with what happens on the field. Yes, he didn't get vaccinated. Yes, he lied about it, whatever. Okay, moving on. But there was a lot of debate over who the MVP is. I'm telling you what, Cooper Kupp in that game, I mean, let's look at his stat line. 9 receptions, 183 yards, 20-yard average, and a touchdown. I mean, wow.
And the clutch catch.
Yeah, the clutch that set up the field goal.
You know, moments matter as well, too. You got the clutch catch at the end, you know, to seal the game, to basically give them that field goal. I mean, without that long play, man, we're probably going into overtime. But
he's good points,
man. As far as I thought if the Colts made the playoffs, I thought Jonathan Taylor had a really good chance because all year, I mean, he's been phenomenal. But as the season goes on. And I think the MVP is a regular season award, right, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
It's a regular season award.
It is. It is. But, it is. I'm not basing.
Cooper Kupp is a triple crown winner. He's lead league in receptions, touchdowns, and yards.
Right.
So he's a triple crown. He's a triple crown guy. Something to be said about that. Maybe if Henry doesn't go down, you don't know if Taylor is the leading back in yards. I'm going to give Henry the benefit of the doubt because he's King Henry. He's just an incredible running back, and he was on an incredible pace before he got hurt. An incredible pace.
Yeah.
I had him in my fantasy football league. I know this.
Yeah, of course. So, but think about if you had Cooper Kupp, I wouldn't even think about drafting Cooper Kupp this year. I would have if he'd have been available, but it was like that was not one of my top grabs because he'd been good, but he'd been just good with Jared Goff. Stafford comes into the mix, a much better quarterback, a much better passer, and it's amplified Kupp's game to the point now where he's in that elite level. You can't deny it. And, yeah, you can't judge and give him the MVP on this game. I'm just saying, it wasn't just the downfield passing he was catching. He was making some tough catches, you know, in short yardage that he was taking for get yards after the catch, and that's what he does. So it's like, It really gives the Rams an extra weapon to have that connection. It's like Tannehill to Brown. It's like you've got that guy. It's like Mahomes to Tyreek Hill. And Burrow to Chase. Everybody's got that weapon. Or we talk to the 49ers since we got Final Four. Garoppolo to Debo. Debo had a pretty good game for the 49ers, even though Debo's
a Swiss Army knife, man. He's a Swiss Army knife. And let's not overlook the fact that the Rams now have OBJ, which you now have to game plan for him. And OBJ, he had a good game, too.
He did. He had a really good game.
Yeah, he had a good game, too. You know, this is a good quarterback for Beckham. Just a high-volume thrower. You know, Stafford has always been a high-volume thrower. You know, it's what helped get Calvin Johnson, you know, into the Hall of Fame. We watched him score 3 touchdowns on us. We're bringing it all, you know, as we bring it back to the Eagles. We watched him throw 3 touchdowns on Thanksgiving against us you know, Megatron. And so high volume thrower, I think they're in hog heaven if you're a receiver from Van Jefferson. I mean, I say the Cowboys have an embarrassment of wealth at wide receiver.
Yeah.
Cooper Kupp, Odell Beckham, and a young Van Jefferson. That's a hell of a guy. Van Jefferson will start on any other team.
Yeah, exactly.
Man, the Rams, man.
And you got Higbee at tight end.
You got Michelle and Akers and then Henderson if you need him. Or does he go out for a year? Anyway, you got Akers and Sony Michelle, you know, two solid running backs. Not a lot of weaknesses.
No.
You know, on that offense, you know, you got an old man at left tackle and Whittingham still getting it done. Wow. You know, there's so many levels, you know, of football. And then you take their defense. You know, the Rams are a team that, you know, just last week, Stafford completed like 9 passes because their defense won the game for them because football is complimentary. I'm going to have a shirt next year that says, "Where is their podcast? Football is complimentary." Because you can win in so many ways. You know what I'm saying? Stafford didn't have to do a lot. Hell, Odell Beckham had great passes last week against the Cardinals. So there's so many ways to win. And the Rams are kind of showing you that there are, you know, with Von Miller. You know, I was like, man, you know, he's coming along. But you have a Hall of Fame rusher on that outside. Damn, they really have Von Miller too. And then Aaron Donald is just, he's a cheat code, man. Aaron Donald is an absolute cheat code. He's unblockable. Yep. You see the stress on the lineman every play. You just see him fighting for their lives, trying to stop this dude from getting past them, man. And he makes them look so bad at times, man. So, I mean, then you have Ramsey, you know. I know Weddle made a stupid play, but he's a veteran. You know, he'll at least be in position, even though he hasn't played in a couple years. So you have the best corner, the best defensive end, a Hall of Fame defensive end. You know, if they get a linebacker, they are just the Rams. This could just be the start of the Rams, man. We don't know how high they can go, man. This is a team that in any given season I think could go undefeated next year. I really do, because if they play well without the injuries. Now, I'll go back to Brady a little bit, a little long-winded, but he didn't have Godwin, and that Antonio Brown's situation showing to be a debacle, man. I mean, Antonio Brown is an all-pro receiver.
Yep.
So Brady lost his embarrassment of wealth too by having Mike Evans, Antonio Brown, and Godwin.
True.
You know, Godwin going down with that. And then you have Gronk. You know, he missed a lot of balls to Gronk. I want to bring that to Brady real quick. He missed a lot of passes to Gronk. Yeah. A ton of passes. I couldn't believe it. When Gronk was even in the end zone, he threw the ball at his feet. I was like, damn. Like, that's crazy. He was throwing the ball. He missed Gronk so many times. I thought that was weird, man.
Until his best game. Until his vampiric power rose up.
Yeah.
I mean, because honestly, it was like when the turnover started happening and Brady all of a sudden like got the color in his cheeks because he was feeding on the human flesh of others to sustain his life. He was. Right. It was when he woke up and started hitting those passes. But the first half, he was struggling. He was like, it looked like, okay, maybe this is over. Maybe this is the end because he's trying to hit short passes. He's dinking and dunking and it's not hitting. But then all of a sudden it's like he woke up and right. that fourth quarter, like midway through the third to the fourth, was an amazing run for Brady. But if you take all that aside, yeah, at the end of the day, Stafford got the cover zero, hits Cup down. They spiked the ball, which was, if you're a Rams fan, that had been the most insane moment. And again, another field goal to determine the outcome of one of these division games. And Gay hits the field goal, and then the Rams are in. So you look at it like now at the Rams and the 49ers. It's really the 49ers have an uphill climb, but they've got a good defense. We saw that against Green Bay. But, man, it really comes down to the Rams right now, early in the season, maybe chemistry was keeping them from winning more games than they should have because they lost some games that were just kind of like, wow, the Rams lost that game? And you kind of look back on it, and you're like, man, they should have like been the number one seed when you look at their talent. But the point you made that is really, really key going into the championship game, linebacker strength, that is one of their weaknesses. And Fournette was really, if they would have given the ball to Fournette more, let's look at Fournette's numbers. Fournette had 13 rushes for 51 yards at 3.9 carry average per carry and two touchdowns. And I just don't think 13 rushes was enough for Fournette. You know, Brady passed the ball. Let's talk about it. Brady passed the ball 54 times, 54 attempts. So Fournette was actually, when he was getting the ball, I mean, right off the bat, the first drive with it got in a field goal, Fournette, 10 yards. I'm like, oh man, if they keep running Fournette, Rams are going to be in trouble because they didn't have the linebackers to stop him. And then they just went away from it. And it became the Brady show again. And then we saw the failed passes. And then he came alive, brought him back all the way back. But man, if they would have controlled the clock a little bit. So let's see what the 49ers do. Granted, Elijah Mitchell is not Leonard Fournette. You know, he's coming into his own. But if the 49ers come out and, like we said, let Jimmy G do just enough to manage the game, hit Deebo Samuel, it could be a really good game. Now, that all being said, I think the 49ers win, or the Rams win by a couple of touchdowns. But
here's what's weird about Jimmy G.
Yeah.
He's been sleepwalking, and then all of a sudden, boom, he can have a game. Any professional quarterback can have a game.
Good point,
man. Anybody can have a game. And I think it would be very Jimmy G-like for him to have a great game against the Rams. I just watch him, and I'm just in awe of just how he was able to do, you know, he's the guy that doesn't do anything in the group project and still gets an A. You know, it gives you that vibe. Like, he doesn't do anything. He just did the title. He just did the cover page and that's it. He just kind of doesn't lose the game for you. So that's why they're not really raining down booze on him all the time. Cause he's not reckless, if that makes sense.
Right.
But he could be extremely ineffective. just back-to-back games, and then he can have a game where he just goes on a run. Like I said, his last run to the Super Bowl, he threw 19 passes. 19.
Unbelievable.
So it's not in his arsenal. It's not in his MO to really win you the game. I'm not saying they're winning in spite of Jimmy G, but he still has the talent. Debo Samuels,
Kittle, George Kittle. George Kittle is right up there. You have
arguably top two. You have the top two wide receivers. I'm going Kelsey and Kittle.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But to me, Kelsey is the guy. He's still the guy. And then you go Kittle, man. Kittle is amazing, man. But Kittle had a big drop in that game, too. Anyway,
he did. He had some good catches, too. The thing about that game, it's hard to judge because the ball was like concrete and it was bouncing off of people's hands. So Kittle normally is sure-handed, but those elements were killing both sides.
Yeah.
So I think with the 49ers going into LA indoors with a good, I think it's going to be a crazy game. I think it could be a really great game. So I'm excited for it. I think I give the edge to the Rams. We'll see what happens, but. Anything could happen right now in this season because we got final four teams and it's exciting because either one of these four teams is could win it all and it's great. I'm loving it. So let's talk about the final game of the weekend, which to me was the most
the best for last.
It was the most insane. It was wow. I mean, way to cap it off, way to build to a crescendo, and then finish it off with the Chiefs and the Bills. And I'm gutted for the Bills. I'm going to fast forward to the end. I'm gutted for the Bills, the way their coaching staff handled that last 13 seconds. Their coaching staff let an entire city down, in my opinion, because number one, you don't squib kick it to run at least another 5 seconds or 6 seconds off the clock. And then
that's a good point.
You squib kick it. You kick it out of the back of the end zone, and you're still giving them 13 seconds. You got arrogant that it was only 13 seconds. And then you play an Eagles defense. Let's just be honest. This is what it was. You had four down linemen, and everybody backed up 10 yards, not covering anything. You can't cover in that defense. I don't care who you are. And we know it's a prevent defense, but I like to call it the Eagle defense because they run prevent all the time. And it was like, man, I've never seen the Bills defense as good as it can be. Back 10 yards off the ball, give up two passes in 13 seconds, and end up giving up the field goal to send it in overtime. You were only up by three, and the Bills acted like they were up by a touchdown, and they played that prevent garbage. I was devastated, not only because I had the Bills picked, and it lost me the picks game. So spoiler alert, as far as the picks game we've been talking about all season long, I had two games different than the guy who was in first, and they were the Bengals and Titans. He had the Bengals. I had the Titans. Lost that one, and I had the Bills over the Chiefs. So I'm sitting there looking pretty, like, hey, I'm still going to be in this thing. And the Bills coaching staff, man, Leslie Frazier. I don't know what you're. Mm-hmm. I normally respect the guy. Great defensive coordinator, but in this moment, big mistake, giving up two big plays in 13 seconds. And I gotta quick, because before we get too deep into the game, I gotta talk about our segment here real quick. This is Hell to the Now. This is the Hell to the Now meme. I love this one. Because it is not an Eagles Where Eagles Dare podcast if we don't poke a little bit of fun at the Dallas Cowboys. Patrick Mahomes led a comeback, this is the meme, in less time than it took the Cowboys to attempt to run one play. The Cowboys had 14 seconds on the clock when Dak took off on a run. Mahomes had 13 seconds and got two big plays in down the field and a field goal to tie it, send it overtime, and then win the game in overtime. What is it? Mm-hmm. I mean, you got to poke fun at the Cowboys a little bit with this one.
Nah, that's pretty good there, man. Man, I'm going to give credit to Eric Bieniemy and Patrick Mahomes for the poise. You know, when the Bills scored, when he threw that ball to Gabriel, Mahomes didn't even flinch. He just got up and started throwing the ball, started warming up. And I was like, Mahomes actually thinks he's going to win this game. What? He's crazy. He's crazy. Did you see the first play call? It was like an extended screen.
Right.
Did you see where they knew they were going right to Kelce? They went trips left. They ran three guys down the field, and Kelce caught the ball, and the guys were already starting to block because it was like an extended screen. I thought that was an incredible play. Remember when I say you got to get the ball in your guys' hands as easy as possible? I thought that was a very easy call. And you got to give Eric Bieniemy credit, man. You know, Leslie Frazier, you know, they coming in with the number one defense. But this is Patrick Mahomes. You know, sometimes, man, you just can't overcome greatness. And Patrick Mahomes, man, he is just greatness personified, man. He is everything that people think Aaron Rodgers is. Just the ice in his veins, an incredible leader. You can tell they do not doubt him whatsoever. Kelce said it first thing at the game. We never doubt him. He's an incredible leader. Andy Reid said it after the game. He's an incredible leader. The guys always rally around him. And as soon as that touchdown was scored, Patrick Mahomes looks up, just picks up, start warming up. I was like, dang, man. But that first play call was incredible. It was an incredible play call. So that extent, it was like an extended screen for like 25 yards. It was so well executed as well. The ball, you know, Kelce drops back short, catches the ball, has two blockers. I was like, damn, that's a long screen. Boom. And then they go right back to Kelce. Mm-hmm. This goes back to that Tannehill. In the biggest moments, you got to go to the biggest players.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Mahomes goes Kelce and, Kelce. Because why not?
Exactly.
I have the best player on the field. Why not? I understand that and he's open, by the way, too. It's not like it was forced throws. Kelce was wide open on that second play. And that skinny post, oh, my God.
Well, that's what I'm saying. With their defense backed up like they were in that prevent, they backed everybody out. Mm-hmm. So it was the opposite of what the happened with the Buccaneers doing the cover zero. They went cover six, and they had everybody back. And so there was so many gaps in the zone. It 100%. Was so easy. So, like, right. I think the vibe, it was so funny. It was so funny. It was like they didn't doubt the Chiefs. And the vibe in the room I was in the VR thing, as soon as the Bills scored, everything at first was elation and cheering. And then everybody went, damn, there's 13 seconds. There's 13 seconds. Nobody was ready to commit to the Bills winning this game. And it's a shame for them, I think, because of the way it was played. As soon as they didn't squib kick the ball, because you squib kick, now it's maybe 7 seconds left or 8 seconds left in the game instead of 13, which would have changed the outcome. Instead, you kick the ball out of the back of the end zone. What do you think's going to happen there? Do you not think your special teams can stop a squib kick? Or you not want to give up the yards where if it maybe gets down to the 30 or the 40 because you squib kicked it? Yeah. It just seemed so ridiculous to me to end a game that way. But let's talk really quick about Davis, Gabriel Davis, like you were mentioning. What a game. I mean, 8 receptions, 201 yards, and 4 touchdowns. The room I was in, people were like, who is this guy? I made a joke in the room, made everybody laugh, because that's what I do. I said, Bills just signed him on the practice squad on Saturday. Everybody was like, who is this guy? Has anybody ever heard of this guy, Davis? I'm like, nah, he's new. He just came in this week. He was actually a janitor. And they're like, hey, can you catch a ball? Yeah, I can. And the thing, he comes out of nowhere. I mean, it wasn't Sanders that was catching balls. It wasn't Diggs that was catching balls. And the thing was you got to give the Chiefs credit. They had those guys locked down. If you watch the game, they were covering Diggs and Sanders. So it was Davis who was open all the time. And Allen, give him credit. And that's what's a shame about Allen. What they said, the stat is 9 touchdowns in a postseason. And no quarterback's ever thrown for 9 touchdowns in a postseason and been eliminated in the division round.
That shows the greatness of Mahomes, man.
It just shows
to the greatness. If people think that they still have a chance with 13 seconds, that puts Mahomes on Brady status. If you feel like with 13 seconds to go, there still can be a shot, you are literally saying that Mahomes is just that great. 13 seconds, and you still don't feel like you can win the game? Because Mahomes is special, man. He's just a special player, man. And, you know, even in Super Bowl last year when he got whooped up on, he still had an incredible game. You know, when he threw the ball vertically, he was completely horizontal and still completed a pass. Mm-hmm. He's just an incredible athlete, man. you know, it's he's just part of a good class of quarterbacks, and Josh Allen as well too. You know, and the reason why, you know, because, you know, how do you let Gabriel Davis, we talk about defenses, this is why I give Eric Bieniemy so much credit, because sometimes the moment is just big, man, and sometimes the offense can just work. How do you give up a touchdown to Gabriel Davis when he's already had three touchdowns?
Yeah, it's crazy. He was just
literally every other catch was a touchdown.
Right.
And yet he was wide open, untouched. Josh Allen just looked, boop, right down the center of the field. Yeah. He didn't want to overthrow it or nothing. He kind of reached back for it. It wasn't like a strike. Like, you know, normally Allen is rifling the ball. But he just knew, I just have to get it up there to him.
Yep.
Gabriel Davis wide open for his fourth touchdown of the game. Who the hell is Kansas City's defensive coordinator to allow, if anything, I'm saying, look, don't give it to Gabriel. He's obviously loves this guy, this game. So for the same credit they give Josh Allen, I'm giving Eric Bieniemy and Patrick Mahomes that same type of energy because they did it, man.
Yeah.
For Kelce to run free off the line is ridiculous.
Yeah.
But you're not trying to get beat deep. You're not trying to have a Cooper Kupp moment in that moment.
They were so it's so weird.
You're
that.
Not trying to have a Mike Evans moment in that moment.
They were more worried about the touchdown and not the tying field goal. Right. And that's a shame. You can't do that when you're only up by three. You've got to play to stop the field goal.
And you're
goal.
Playing Patrick Mahomes, man. This guy is special, man. He's been in the last two Super Bowls. Like, he's been, I mean, league MVP. MVP of the Super Bowl champion, obviously, back-to-back, and you only lose to Brady. That's not a bad resume, you know, and this guy is special, man. He's only just going to get better, man, and, you know, I can't root against Kansas City because of Andy Reid. I just can't do it. It's just not in my – I just can't, you know, even though I'm you know, I said, man, really pulling for the Bengals, man. I want to really see them do well. I can't root against Andy Reid. I just can't do it. You know, if the Bengals win, cool. I will be happy for them if they do win. But I can't actively root against Andy Reid. You know, this guy took a picture with me. I snuck down in the well, room. He turned around with no hesitation sure. A guy that turns around and says, sure, man, I'll take a picture, which I cannot root against, man. I just can't root against Andy Reid. I wish him nothing but success, and I hope they win the Super Bowl again because – Andy Reid should be in the breath of the elite coaches, man. This guy has been getting it done forever. He's lost his fair share of Super Bowl. I get it. But anywhere there's an Andy Reid-led team, you see a culture, you see camaraderie, you see happy players, you see just a good overall environment. So I think that's why I just wanted to take a moment to, you know, shout out Andy Reid, you know what I'm saying, and give him his just due. You know, there's a lot of other coaches out there, you know, Leslie Frazier called it, but then you're also going up against Andy Reid, man. Andy Reid is right there below Belichick to me in my era. He's a great coach, man. He's an incredible coach. And I think people forget that he's on that other sideline as well. Shout out to Andy. Shout out to Big Red, man.
I agree because I think with the recent win to get to the NFC, the AFC championship game, with Andy Reid right now, he is in second place behind Belichick with the most wins in
look
this era of the coaches. So he has like 13 playoff wins compared to everybody else. And we've seen it. I mean, you've got to five NFC championship games with the Eagles. Granted, lost the Super Bowl. He's only got one Super Bowl win, so he's got a little bit different there. But he's always there. He's always able to get the teams motivated. You know, and you could say, well, I wish he was back in Philly. And, yeah, that would be great. But at the time when he left Philly, it was time.
It was.
You know, Bill Walsh said years ago, and I always thought it was great when Bill Walsh, you know, the guru that started it all with the West Coast offense and everything. Bill Walsh said, a coach has about a seven-year shelf life with the team. After that 7 years, you really got to start considering to move on because you get stagnant. And that's what happened with Andy Reid. He got stagnant in Philadelphia. He had the issues with his sons and the substance abuse things. Things just weren't going well. Kansas City has given him new life. Of course, Mahomes, without Mahomes, we wouldn't have this, all of this. So, you know, you got to factor in that. But it did come out in his favor. So, yeah, to Andy Reid and Mahomes. But looking at the stats, yeah, Josh Allen, 27 of 37 for 329 yards. and four touchdowns. Great game for Josh Allen. But let's look at Mahomes. 33 of 44, 75% completion rate, 378 yards, and three touchdowns. So one of the things that I noticed in that game, talking about Mahomes, is that he has this intrinsic ability to know what to do when it needs to be done. So the pressure comes, he knows when to pull out, and you're not going to get to him. You're just not going to bring him down. He got sacked, I think, three times in that game, but they earned those sacks. You know, right. The Bills earned those sacks because I don't know how many times guys were reaching for him, and he was gone. He was taken off down the field. And then there's times where he knows where he's got Hill wide open or where he's got Kelsey wide open. He's got that knack, that instinct that very few quarterbacks we see have in the NFL. You know, I've seen in my era, in my lifetime, I've seen Montana have that instinct. You know, I've seen a few others. You know, this guy is special. Like you said,
Who's your Mount Rushmore of quarterbacks?
Ooh, good Lord.
Put me right on the spot. Right on the spot.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Well, I can go if you need time.
Well, you know what? You know, the thing is, the funny thing it is right now is that I would throw Montana and Brady up there, regardless of how I feel about Brady. Mm-hmm. I definitely throw Montana and Brady up there, and then I would throw Mahomes up there even at this young stage of his career. Because of what he's done in just a short time, and I think he's going to do a lot more than that. Then it's something I would have to think about for that fourth guy, because I don't know if I would put Aaron Rodgers up there or Ben Roethlisberger up there. I thought they were good, and I don't even know if I would put Brett Favre up there because of, you know, his air. I'd probably go back further. I'd probably go back to like an old school guy. Like Greasy leading an undefeated, you know, Dolphins team, something like that, before I went to some of these modern era guys that really haven't had the accomplishments that some of these other guys did. Johnny Unitas, maybe, you know.
Right.
I mean, I would probably go with an older legend as the fourth guy rather than Rodgers or Favre. What about you?
We have the same three.
Okay.
I mean, Montana's Montana. He was the Brady before Brady. He made quarterbacking cool, along with Unitas and Joe. Shout out to Joe Namath, you know, those guys that just made quarterbacking cool with the fur coats and the New York swag. Shout out to those guys, man. Montana.
Okay.
Brady. I mean, Brady is if you don't have Brady in your Mount Rushmore, you're a hater. Mahomes, man, I'm right there with you with Mahomes. He's like the most special. He's special. And then I'm going Steve Young, man.
Yeah.
Because I thought Steve Young with his three Super Bowls. Steve Young, he kind of started coming out of BYU, that running quarterback, that dual threat lefty.
Right.
You know, don't get me wrong. He had an incredible, he played with Jerry Rice, but so did Montana. He had Ricky Waters, had a hell of a game against the Chargers. You know, just that Steve Young ever. I remember the Niners just being invincible when they had Steve Young as well, too. And they had Deion, all them guys. Woo! That's a hell of a list, man.
Yeah.
I mean, but so that's my four, man. Brady, Montana, Mahomes, and Steve Young. That's just my Mount Rushmore. Now, my respect Rushmore, that could probably vary a little bit when it comes to quarterbacks. I can squeeze Peyton in there. I can squeeze Breeze in there. You know, I thought these guys, you know, Breeze is number two to Brady as far as yards.
Yeah, definitely.
Stats and his leadership, longevity. You know, there's some guys out there that can be put up on there. You know, Peyton has two Super Bowls. He has more than Mahomes. So you can argue that Peyton should be right up in there. But
point.
I think we're looking at the, I'm going to use a stock term here, the call. We're looking at Mahomes to continue to go up.
Right.
We're like, he could win it this year. And Mahomes, we're going to see Mahomes in another Super Bowl, if even not this year. Especially as long as Andy Reid is there and with the squad he has, I'm sure Andy is very comfortable. I'm sure the Kansas City folks make him very comfortable there because they know what it's like to be at the bottom of the league, and now they know what it's like to be at the top. And I've been to Kansas City a lot of times. A great city, man. Great food, great barbecue.
Yeah.
Great, man. A lot of great things down in Kansas City, man. And now you have Patrick Mahomes. You had old Patrick Mahomes to that, man. And he's just like, if they ever get him a Derrick Henry, a Jonathan Taylor.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Yeah.
Can you imagine if he has a running back? He doesn't even have that guy at running back.
Yeah, I agree. So, I agree. There's guys out there that we could have mentioned. Manning is a good mention. I remember when he was at Tennessee in 95, and I was like, man, this guy's going to be really good. And he did have a great career, got two Super Bowls. But when you look at comparison to him to Mahomes right now, there's such a dynamic about Mahomes, and there's such a high ceiling that it's just the beginning. You sense it. I sense it with Burrow too. Burrow could be one of these guys that if you get him the right set of tools, he's going to be there to come. We could have said Elway, but Elway's got his couple of Super Bowls, but it took him a long time to get there. But he was in my era, one of the best passers I ever saw. Then Marino couldn't get over that hump, but Marino was just, I mean, and Breeze. But Breeze, again, one Super Bowl, you know, he's up there. He's up there, but do you really put him on the Rushmore?
Nah, and I'm not putting him on the Rushmore.
Yeah, I'm definitely not putting Rodgers or Favre. I mean, I think those guys were great in the annals of football history, Aikman, whatever. But when you're talking about guys that, like, if the chips are down, and I got to call a quarterback in, then I think that we've got pretty much it nailed right there, especially with just with Mahomes and Brady.
It's crazy that you say Aikman because, you know, I thought about this question the other day, and I was going back and forth. Aikman was right there. Aikman Young. Because Troy Aikman cannot be ignored.
No, not at all.
He cannot be ignored. Yeah, I know he had a really great Timmy, best offensive line, best running back, Michael Irvin, Moose Johnson. Mm-hmm. I mean, those guys, you had Deion Sanders again. See, Deion Sanders. And then all those guys, Charles Woodson, all those guys, those legendary guys from the Dallas Cowboys, man, that was just a menace in the 90s. You know, ancient history, of course, you know, Dallas. Heydays, ancient history. Yep, my kids don't even know anything about it.
still haven't won a playoff game since that era.
Since then, man. We're talking,
26 years? So, the Eagles have had a much better run of it than they have. And, you know, I have a lot of friends who are Cowboys fans, unfortunately. I mean, I love them to death. But, you know, it is. You can't choose your friends. Your friends become your friends, and they're right. Cowboys fans. Right. And we talk about this, and they're at a point now which is crazy because normally the Cowboys fans are they elevate their team above what their team is, but now they've hit the wall. They're like this at this loss this season when they were supposed to have such a great team and they were supposed to be for real. And it didn't happen. They again lose first round. It's really now they're just, if you watch the videos, you watch the memes and everything, it's like, wow, they're really in the dumps. And it's funny, I mean, for us as Eagles fans, because we've been there. We've been up and down. We know what it's like. We've never had our team. We've never had the advantage that a Cowboy team has to always be hyped by the media. Right. To always get our expectations up. The media hates us. The media ranked the Eagles the worst team in the NFC East again this year. The zero chance of making the playoffs. They do it every year. They do it every year. They do it every year. We're used to it. And they wonder why Philadelphia fans are so cranky.
Mm-hmm. Number one seed during our Super Bowl run, underdog every game.
Every game. They wonder why we get so mad. It's because there's a lack of respect. So I think that for the Cowboys fans, they just have to deal with it.
Well,
so,
blue-collar communities and blue-collar teams will always be disrespected. That's just the way it is.
True.
That's just the way it is, you know. So Philadelphia will always be considered a blue-collar area, blue-collar nation. The fans are incredible. I'm one of them, you know.
Yep.
From a suburb of Philadelphia, Camden, New Jersey, you know, Ben Franklin Bridge, the Delaware River is the only thing that separates us is the Delaware River. You know, this isn't Valley Forge or anything, but you get me. You know, it's just, you know, man, just a credible history, man. You know, just, I love my Eagles. I'm about to start going on the Eagles rant, but I'm not.
It's like I was actually talking with people because we were having the Carson Wentz discussion. We were talking about the quarterback discussion during a lot of these rooms I was in over the weekend. And somebody brought up RG3 and brought up all these quarterbacks that started out so promising. And what I pointed out, the common denominator for Carson and RG3 and others like him is that damn ACL injury. It's the MCL injury. And they're never the same when they come back. And so what surprises me, so tying this into the playoffs, is how Joe Burrow – unrealistically has come back from that type of injury to be able to lead his team into an AFC championship game. So much kudos, because a lot of these guys, once that happens, they start doubting themselves. You see it with Carson Wentz. He questions everything he does. Same thing with RG3, questioned everything they did. We talk about Joe Theismann, everything. End of career, it's done, it's over. So going into the championship games, and we are going to have another Monday when we talk these and we break them out. Who you got? Let's go Rams, 49ers. Who you got?
Yeah. So this is an emotional pick for me. Yeah. I'm going with the Niners. Right. I'll tell you off camera why. No. It's deep. It's deep. Right. So and it's very relatable. So I'm going with the Niners. It's an emotional pick for me. I'm going with the Niners. I do want to see the Niners win. And then on the Chiefs side, man, I think the Chiefs should be able to win this game. Because, I mean, you know, Burrow hasn't done a lot. He hasn't cost his team. That's right. What he hasn't done. The Raiders could have won that game. You could say, you know, that was an erroneous touchdown. But that doesn't mean you would have to replay the down. You don't know what would have happened with that next play. But it definitely was an erroneous touchdown. And then, you know, didn't really do a whole lot against Tennessee. I don't think Tennessee is a top defense to be able to shut them down as much as they did. And then you get sacked 9 times. That's a lot, man. You know, that means there's some confusion defense, because you have no hot reads. You get sacked 9 times. I mean, there's something there with your reads. But he's a young quarterback, so you can expect him to not have all the hot reads, man.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm not really burrowing down on Burrow, pun intended, I guess. You know, with those 9 sacks, because, you know, most quarterbacks would be ridiculed. He doesn't know what to do with the football. 9 sacks. What are you doing holding the ball? You know, get rid of it. Well, obviously doesn't know what to do with the ball.
So they were the offensive line.
But still, with 9, but that's not the narrative behind Joe Burrow, is that he doesn't know what to do with the ball, even though you can take 9 sacks, which shows that you don't know what you're doing with the ball. So I think if they stop mixing, they don't want to go into a shootout. I don't know if they can win a shootout against the Bills. I think Josh Allen was the closest person that could match Mahomes with the firepower. I think the Chiefs win this one because Mahomes is just that hard to start to stop. And like you said earlier, you know, middle of the road Bengals defense all year. But they beat the Chiefs earlier this year. Exactly. So if they win – but they had a good comeback win against the Chiefs. But if they win, I'm not surprised, because they've already beat them this year. You know, it's kind of talking out of both sides. But I expect Kansas City to win. I expect Mahomes to be bigger in this moment. I really do. But Joe Burrow's a national championship quarterback as well, too, man. So he's been in big games as well. He has some of the same guys he's been in these big games with. So
I agree. Yeah,
I think so. But I think the Chiefs come out on top, and I'm rooting for the Niners.
I got you. Yeah, I think you're right. I think the Chiefs should win comfortably, but it is one of those things where, like, the Bengals have won, and they've won games where you haven't expected them to win. They took the Packers. I was at the Packer game in Cincinnati, took them to the wire, went to overtime, multiple missed kicks, Packers ended up winning. But I saw a lot of games with the Bengals this year, just being here in Dayton, Ohio. They have this spirit, and that's something that's hard to describe and get. It says the same spirit the Eagles had when they won the Super Bowl. Will That's it be point. Enough with their offensive firepower to get them by the Chiefs? Like you said, if it ends up a shootout, you got to give it to Mahomes 99% of the time. But there is that 1%. You never know. So, yeah, I'm going Chiefs, but it wouldn't surprise me, like you said, if the Bengals just all of a sudden shock the world and end up in the Super Bowl. Would be crazy. But I'm thinking, and on the other side, looking at the Rams, I think they're hitting this stride right now, where the Niners, they played great defense against the Cowboys, great defense against the Packers, but we haven't seen a ton of great offense. And I think the Rams are a little bit more full package. It could go either way. Being at home, I'm going to go with the Rams and the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. Not what I want. If I had my way, I would say Bengals, 49ers. But
it'd be a hell of a Super Bowl.
Yeah, either way, I think we're going to have a treat. I think it's going to be a great Super Bowl out of these four teams. You've got so many stories, like we said, going into this podcast. There's going to be so many stories to look forward to and enjoy.
Chiefs LA is box office, man.
It's crazy.
The star power is incredible. And I think, where is it at? Is it in LA?
It's in LA. It's in LA or Vegas? Is it Vegas? I think it was a Super Bowl in Vegas. All right. Yeah, we have to figure that out, because I think it might be in L.A. You think that we would know that as a professional?
It's L.A. or Raiders, because, you know, those new stadiums, they try to give them the Super Bowls and whatnot. I thought it was in L.A. for some reason this year.
It is at SoFi Stadium, yep.
SoFi Stadium, yep. L.A.
I think next year it's in Las Vegas.
That would make sense.
I knew that with the Las Vegas thing, with the Raiders getting the new stadium, that they got a Super Bowl coming up too.
That's what they do.
I think they're doing
the Giants had a Super Bowl.
Right, right. I think they're doing the Pro Bowl in Vegas this year. And then
who wants to go to New York for a Super Bowl? But when you open up a new stadium, who wants to go to Minnesota for a Super Bowl? I would have.
Yeah.
Fly, Eagles, fly.
Exactly.
But who wants to go to Minnesota for a Super Bowl? But it's an incredible stadium, and it was cold as hell, shoveling all that snow. You know, it's probably miserable for the fans as far as the out and about. You know, when you get in the stadium, you're good to go. But like, you know, you go to that Super Bowl, you got the little outside events and all the, you know, things going on. You can't really have that versus being down in Tampa last year. Can you imagine?
Yeah, I know.
The fun you can have. You still got to imagine that you can have in Tampa. And I've been out. I've had a night out in Tampa. It's a good time.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a good time.
You can't complain when you're – and that's why the NFL does that so often. New Orleans gets so many Super Bowls. Tampa, Miami, they always get the Super Bowls because it's a great place to go. People travel well. If they're spending money for Super Bowl tickets, they're going to spend money down in the area where it's happening at. You know it. So it's a good time. I've never been to a Super Bowl, so maybe one of these years I'll do it. That'd be a bucket list thing. I mean, I wanted to the year that the Eagles were in it, but we chose to go to the Hall of Fame if they won it, and that was a good idea. Because you had left and moved, and I thought when they won it, let's go to the Hall of Fame. And I have no regrets on that. We got to have such a great time meeting all of our Eagle heroes, and it was a blast. So
absolutely,
that was a great weekend. So I have it to do all over again. Maybe if the Eagles get to another Super Bowl, then they'll definitely plop down the $10,000 needed to get there. But all right. So that's we covered just about it. I think we're in the final throes of talking about all these games. We could probably talk for another hour or two about these games. They were that good. I can't believe that we were treated. And everybody, if you look on Facebook, you look on all the social media anywhere that people are talking about these games, how great they were. So we're glad that to be able to be back and cover these. And we're going to cover the NFC and the AFC championship game next Monday as well. So we're going to enjoy those. So we appreciate you checking out the Where Eagles Dare podcast. We have actually a couple of new followers this week on YouTube, so that's nice. Thank you guys for joining us. If you want to suggest anything to us or just send us an email, you can do so at our email address is lee.bird, that's B-Y-R-D, .eaglesdare@gmail.com. Also, if you can't check us out on YouTube, you can always check us out on Twitch or Facebook. And if you want to check us out on one of the podcast providers, you can do so on Spotify, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Castro, Podcaster, and so many others. And if we are not on a podcast that you use or service you use, just email us, let us know, we'll get on there. But it is I don't know, should we do the typical sign off? Because you know, the Eagles are out, but we could still do it, because I don't care.
It's always fly, Eagles, fly.
And go Birds. Have a great week, everyone. We will talk about the games coming up next Monday. Enjoy it. It's going to be awesome. This is what we live for as football fans.